Welcome to the Julie G Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Golub, and this podcast is all about shooting sports, competition, travel, and more. Thanks so much for tuning in. Let's get started with the show. Hey, everybody, it's Julie Golub. I am the host of the Julie G Podcast. Yes, it seems so weird for me to say that still, the host of the Julie G Podcast. Anyway, I should be used to it now because I'm actually loving doing this podcast. It's a lot of fun. But this one's going to be pretty short because I am so super swamped, it's not even funny. What has been going on? Well, I have been doing a lot of filming and a lot of shooting and a lot of traveling and all that sort of stuff. So July, I kind of took a step back, and July was kind of my family month. And I think it's really important to get perspective and take some time off when you need it in order to make sure that you're going to be at the top of your game for the rest of your season. Fortunately, I've been able to peak at just the right time this year. It hasn't been a dominating year where I've won absolutely everything, but I've won the matches that really count. The USPSA Single Stack National Championships and the NRA Bianchi Cup, where I was very fortunate and pleased and happy to take home women's championship titles at those events. So yeah, a little breather, a little break, a little rest, and I am ready to go at them for the rest of the season. But in July, I had the chance to be on another podcast, the Gun Guy Podcast, with Zach and Jake, and we talked about the Smith & Wesson M&P. Evidently, they're going to have some sort of grudge match between the M&P, the Glock, and the X-Day, so I was brought on as the subject matter expert for the M&P pistol line, and it was a lot of fun talking with them. I had a great time. It was a long podcast. It's really neat, and I love the interview format, so hopefully in the next few months, I'm going to be able to line up some interviews and figure out how on earth you kind of set up Skype or whatever. I'm a podcast newbie. So hopefully I'll be able to set something up so that I can actually interview people as well. So that would be a fun added benefit to this podcast. I'm hoping anyway. But anyway, I had a great time talking with the Gun Guy Podcast hosts, and it was a lot of fun chatting up the M&P, and I hope it did well. Of course, the M&P is feature-packed, so it wasn't very difficult to talk about it, and I'm a huge fan, of course. But hopefully it does okay in their little grudge match episode. We'll have to see. In the beginning of the month, I headed down to Tunica, Mississippi. Fun times, where it was really, really hot and really, really humid. Of course, it's been really hot in Montana, too, but it was really humid in Mississippi. For the Professional Outdoor Media Association Conference, otherwise known as the POMA Conference. I had a really good time connecting with outdoor writers of various types at the POMA conference. I was actually invited to become a POMA member at the beginning of the year, and I submitted my book, Shoot, Your Guide to Shooting and Competition, for the POMA Pinnacle Awards, which is kind of their, I don't know, Grammys, Oscars, or whatever, of the outdoor writing world. And so I was super excited to head down to the conference to see what it was all about, meet and network with other outdoor writers, and of course, you know, see how my book did. Unfortunately, I was the only book entry at the POMA Awards, which I was a little surprised at because I thought there would be, you know, more published works within the book category. But unfortunately, there wasn't. So there wasn't enough people to give the award, so obviously the award wasn't given, blah, blah, blah. But it was still a very good experience for me in general. One thing that I really took away from POMA, other than some really good classes that were very resourceful and informative, my favorite happened to be on search engine optimization for your website, which is like Greek to me. And now it's like I can say in SEO, hi, my name is Julie. But Jason McDonald gave an amazing series of classes on it. And I was like a little sponge during that whole session time with him. But I also had the opportunity to connect with a lot of outdoor writers. And one thing that really struck me about POMA is that there's not a lot of shooting sports coverage within this particular Writers Association, it seemed that the majority of the people that I connected with and had the opportunity to meet were all writers within the outdoor industry of the hunting, fishing, camping, photography kind of focus, that world, instead of shooting sports. And so I felt very much a minority there. And it got me thinking about it. And, you know, there's a lot to that, in the sense of when you look at shooting sports organizations, they'll have their own newsletter or their own magazine. And it's all member-based. The contributions are primarily member-based. Yes, you have an editor who writes a lot of articles, and you may have a couple people on the staff that contribute to that. But it is generally an accepted practice to ask the members to give their feedback or provide articles or provide photos. And those are the things that make it into the various publications of these shooting sports. Now, the publications themselves are also member-based, of course, in the sense that you're only getting the magazine or the newsletter if you belong to the organization. And so that really kind of makes you think about it, in the sense of, are we really sharing shooting sports and getting the word out to everybody that we should? Because we're not hitting mainstream. We're not in major publications, major gun magazines or outdoor publications and that sort of thing. It makes you really think about it. And if people, the enthusiasts of the world, aren't getting that information, wow, I mean, that says a lot. And so really got me thinking about the role of shooting sports and what I can do to help encourage others to maybe take the route of writing stories about shooters and the sports and their successes and how easy it is to become involved, and encourage people to not just go out into the outdoors, but also to take the firearms that they already own and enjoy some sort of organized activity, safe organized activity that they can participate in and have a lot of fun. So Poma really got me thinking about that, and we'll see if that changes in the future. I certainly would like it too, definitely. Another thing that really surprised me about Poma was the lack of chatter about the Olympics. I mean, like, isn't everybody talking about the Olympics? And specifically, our amazing shooting athletes that performed so well there. Other than a few conversations I had with My Gun Culture's Tom McHale, NRA Blog's Lars Daleside, and of course Tom Gresham, who has been interviewing Olympians, Tom Gresham of Gun Talk Radio and Gun Talk TV, I didn't hear a whole lot of buzz about the Olympics at an Outdoor Media Association conference, and that kind of surprised me. And so this comes into my little bit of my segue here for talking about the Olympic Games. Not only was it not a topic of conversation at the POMA conference, but the buzz that I've been noticing, at least in my perspective from social media, blogs, forums, etc., is that there's a general disappointment with NBC and mainstream media in their coverage of the shooting sports, and that Olympic shooting sports are boring. I have some things to say about that. First of all, yes, we can definitely point the finger at NBC and say, yes, we want more shooting sports coverage, but this year's coverage has been bigger and better than it ever has been. And Kim Rohde has been on the Today Show, and she, as someone who has won 5 Olympic medals in 5 consecutive Olympic Games, has she gotten a ton of attention like, say, a Michael Phelps and Ryan Lochte? No. But at the same time, she still has gotten that attention, at least to a certain degree. And we have to celebrate that, in the sense that, yes, a shooter is out there and is up there, and having these role models performing so well and touching mainstream in the way that they are with the articles in LA Times, New York Times, USA Today. That is huge. But think about it. Leading up to the Olympics, did we read a lot about Kim Rohde's drive for 5? I think I read a press release from one of her sponsors like a week before the Olympics, and NRA Women's Network
put out a video, I think, the day before she competed. But when you think about the rest of the Olympic athletes, that buzz is starting much, much earlier. I mean, there is an interest growing. And when you search the internet for that, that rivalry, that Phelps-Lochte rivalry I mentioned earlier, is all over the internet. And it's everything that everybody was talking about even before the opening ceremony started. But the shooting sports world and the outdoor world has not jumped on that bandwagon of understanding lead time and putting out interesting articles and fun facts and creating the buzz that's necessary for us to really thrive. And when you think about mainstream media, a lot of times what they're doing is nothing original. They're just searching the internet to find tidbits of information and then putting their spin on them to make them interesting for their specific readers or their specific viewers. So I have to say, yes, we can be a little bit disappointed with NBC Olympics, but I think we should also be disappointed with the fact that our own industry, our own media industry, didn't really shine the light on these Olympians in a way that they should. When you look at Jamie Lynn Gray, she set a record in her rifle event at the Olympics and won gold after, really struggling with it in the last Olympics and having a bad shot that really cost her that time to shine. And she has been training for 4 years, and boom, her last shot seals the deal at the Olympic Games, a 10.8, a deep 10. And when you watch the electric scoring on a deep 10 in Olympic shooting, it pulses with, it's like, it's almost like it's alive when you have that kind of an awesome shot. And so it was so great, but I didn't hear a thing about this woman until she won the gold medal. I mean, that's how disappointing this is for me. So I'm just gonna go out and say, I hope that next Olympics, we come around and we think about this and tackle this as an industry and really embrace our shooters and get behind them. Okay, so Olympics are boring. I am so tired of hearing this. I don't think they're boring at all. And I think that if you're a serious shooter or athlete that really wants to improve your game, that there's a lot to be learned from the Olympics and watching these athletes perform. Take an example. The last shot. Everybody's been talking about the last shot, and someone who is all too familiar with those critical shooting moments of the last shot or the few shots within the final is Matt Emmons, who has been somewhat labeled as the heartbreak kid for the Olympics because he has had a few bad shots that have ended up making him shift in position, losing a color medal, and he almost didn't medal this year because of one poor shot. But let's continue to talk about last shots. Hello, Kim Rohde's last shot, Vincent Hancock's last shot, Jamie Lynn Gray's last shot. Her last shot was a measurable 10.8. Vincent and Kim Rohde's were, clay, powder, boom, dust everywhere, last shot. How these athletes handle the pressure of being there, knowing where they stand in the Olympic Games and how they fire that last shot. Yeah, I think there's a lot to learn from the Olympic Games, and they're not boring. And I think that it's noble that people want to put more interesting and more dynamic shooting sports, viewer-wise, into the Olympics, but I don't think that should ever come at the expense of any other current sport there. So to me, the Olympics aren't boring. It's a study of the athlete. It's a study of the process. And it's watching success and failure sometimes happen in front of your eyes. And I think that as a shooter, you can learn a lot from that. So with that said, I am super proud of all of our Team USA athletes who participated in the London Games. Awesome. Hats off to you. And wow. Congratulations on everything that you've accomplished, and of course to our medalists, Kim, Vincent, Jamie, and Matt, on your amazing performances. In fact, I am quite inspired by these amazing athletes and, of course, the London Games. So as a foodie, I love to cook. And if you follow my blog, you know that I do a series on Field to Fork, where I take the game that I've hunted throughout the year and make some cool dishes out of it. Some of them are good, some of them are great, and some of them are, I probably won't make that again. But usually if they make Field to Fork, they're pretty tasty. So I'm hoping to share a London-inspired, Olympic Game-inspired, American athlete-inspired Field to Fork coming up very soon. As promised, I am going to keep this one short because I am very busy. I've got so much stuff going on over the next few weeks that, I'm swamped. What am I doing? Well, my first three-gun match of the year, the Rock Castle AR15.com three-gun event in Park City, Kentucky, is coming up. And I'm super excited to get out there racing with my Smith & Wesson M&P 15, my M&P Pro Series 9mm, and, of course, my Benelli M2. I actually have a new Benelli, and I'm excited to get that up and ready to go. I'm also experimenting with a new, the other way to load the shotgun and three gun. I've been trying to master the four-shell weekend reload, where you grab four shells off your belt and load them in while you're keeping the gun up in your shoulder so that you're going to be fast on target and you get those four shells in. But unfortunately, I have itty-bitty stubby fingers. And it is really hard for me to get four shells. So at least I can get them, but loading them, yeah, it's not pretty. So I'm also going to experiment a little bit with the dual load concept, where you grab two shells, flip the gun over so that your loading port is accessible, thrust them down into the tube, and then roll the gun over so that you can get back on target. I'm going to play with that over the next week, and if I like that, I may incorporate that into my loading regime at the three gun. But we'll see. But I'm really excited. I love the match. I love the pro amateur format that they have set up, and I'll definitely be talking more about that in the next podcast. But I also have to get ready for some filming at the end of the month. I'm very excited about that, and I will be sharing more. I don't know how much I can tell you about it. I don't know if it's super secret or not. So anyway, it's a project that I participated in before and was really, really cool, and I am doing a new updated version of that project. So that's all I'll say about that. And then finally, I am flying across the pond to Germany. I've been to Germany once, loved the trip. I actually visited the Walther factory in Germany. But I am competing at the World Action Pistol Championships. And there's a lot to get ready for that too. It's pretty hard to actually balance the three gun concept with the action pistol concept. And then immediately after the World Championships is the IDPA Nationals. And I'm on the fence right now on whether or not I will be attending that match as a shooter or not. Because it's just really, it's a lot at this point in time for me to balance everything, especially with being away basically for 3 weeks. So, I'm super, super, super busy. So with that, I'm not going to get to any of your questions answered this week. But if you do have a question, please, I will get to it eventually. Send me an email at julie@juliegolub.com. And I think that's it. So whew, I have to get to the range. I got to go shoot.
That wraps up the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This podcast was brought to you by Smith & Wesson, Benelli USA, and Warren Tactical Sights. For more information, please visit my website, juliegolub.com. You can also follow me on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and my blog. So until next time, be safe and have fun.